Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of AppForcast. Today is Friday, July 3rd. There's been quite a few changes since the last show. First and foremost, our would-be co-host, Natalie, is no longer with us. She got a little too busy with her startup and I guess felt like this was just an added responsibility. So I wish her the best of luck. Her company's doing really well, so I'm really happy about that. So there's quite a bit to cover. In the past couple of weeks, a lot has changed. There's been just a string of celebrity deaths. Most important of which to me was Michael Jackson. Anyone who knows me pretty well knows I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. I don't care, you know, what other people have against the guy. He influenced me a lot, and you know, I can't really fault anyone for thinking he's a little weird, and for, you know, some people don't necessarily get into his music later in life. But I've been rocking Michael from Off the Wall to Invincible. From History to Jam, I really could care less what the world thinks. I'm quite devastated by his death, so yeah, I just wanted to say a few words about that. Speaking of that, there's a great article with Quincy Jones where he talks about what he thinks was going on in Michael's life. Understandably, he didn't say much while the guy was still alive because they were friends and it was out of respect. But apparently there, you know, were some serious things going on, beyond the serious things that made it to the headlines. So, I encourage you to check that out. I'm including it as a link. But rest in peace, Mike. You'll be missed. So moving on a much, much more enthusiastic note, there's been some huge news coming out of Uganda as of late. First, there's this whole thing going around about Uganda trying to ban old PCs, and this is true. The Ugandan government is considering. I don't think it's reached the level where it's a threat to be passed yet. But just the fact that it's been brought up and now that it's out, people are expressing concern because this would be devastating to the local economy. It points to some really weird indicators for certain companies that would stand to profit. One of those, which is Green Computers, which according to the bill that's being proposed would be exempt from this law that would affect the whole rest of the country. And if you're not aware, if you're not familiar with Green Computers, it's an organization that takes refurbished computers and resells them here in Uganda, and it's backed by the Ugandan government and Microsoft. And I really don't think there's anything malicious going on there. I don't want to put it in that light, but it is rather interesting that there's going to be certain companies that are exempt. So, you know, if you're in Uganda, just follow a couple of the links that I point to on the blog to, you know, make your opinion known about this. It's really not a good idea. It's done under the guise of reducing e-waste, which is a noble cause, but there's some better ways to go about it. So that's just my two cents on that. You can also check out my thoughts. I posted them on Friend Feed. I guess I'm too close and I know too much what's going on behind the scenes to make a comment on the blog. So a couple of other people have made public statements, and you know, I'm certainly not for it, but I know that it's still sort of pending, so I don't want to raise too many alarms. That's that. What else is going on? Google launched a slew of apps here in Uganda this week. One of those being 6001, which is 6001 is the short code on MTN here in Uganda. First and foremost, the information dissemination aspect is awesome. I'm really excited about the potential of this app. In full disclosure, One of the projects being incubated at Africa Labs is Question Box, which was piloted alongside all these new Google services through the Grameen Foundation's App Lab. The press released it as three apps because there was a deal in place with Google, MTN, and Grameen before we ever came on board. But there was actually a fourth app, and that fourth app was Question Box, which was less an app and more a service. So it really didn't fit into that category anyway, that whole press release anyway. So we're really excited about it. I'm very close to the actual pilot program through the relationship with Grameen, and I've sort of been following what they're doing for a long time. So that wasn't the only one. There was Google SMS Search. I believe there was another one, Google Tips or something. And then the last one was Google Trader, which is an SMS classifieds, sort of like an SMS-only Craigslist, which is another really brilliant initiative. It could only take a big organization like MTN or Google to do something like that because the costs of SMS are so high and prohibitive to innovation. So I'm really glad that they're doing it. We're starting to leverage that platform for some of our platforms here at platforms in development here at Africa Labs, like Status UG. So I'm really excited that we don't even have to think about it anymore. So big ups to Google. I'm really looking forward to seeing how these services not only scale but affect local audience, what the adoption will be, how people use it. Already people among my friends are asking if they'll be able to like list apartments for rent and for sublet like Craigslist. So I think there's huge potential there, and looking forward to seeing where it goes. This particular podcast is actually going to be about Question Box. And unlike previous podcasts where I may have talked about some of the services that we're working on here, at this time I actually get to give you some actual numbers about the service, because we've been piloting for 2 months and, you know, there's a slew of apps that we're going to launch related to it. And, you know, we're really excited about it. Grameen's really excited about it. They've been really supportive of what we're doing. Just to tell you a little bit about Question Box, it's an all questions answered service. It's sort of like 411 in the U.S., but, unlike 411, it really is all questions answered. 411 wants you to look up specific sets of information. We want to find out what people in rural parts of Uganda and India, where we're also piloting, we want to find out what they want to know, what's relevant to them, how can they be better served by whoever, whether that's the private sector or the nonprofit sector. And it's really been interesting. We've had a number of people contacting, trying to get involved with the service, just because. So for Question Box has been around for several years now, and I don't really think the connection was made between the value of the service and the execution. And I think there was a lot of backlash against the, you know, sort of infrastructure heavy requirements of the service very early on, where you needed a physical box, and there it was just a very different service. But since I've been involved, we've had the pleasure of working with founder and CEO Rose Schumann to change the service to be more, to first of all be mobile based. Second of all, to take into account things like SMS and things, we just made it a little bit more tech-heavy, but in a way where it's completely unobtrusive. When you're on the phone with an operator, let me just sort of explain how the service works. You're out in the field in rural Uganda. You're a farmer. You're a doctor. You have a question. You want to know something. You don't have access to the internet. Your mobile phone, the cost to send an SMS or to call someone in the city, is a little high if you don't know who you're going to call to get the information, because it implies that you're going to have to make several calls to find out. So this service, and we've only piloted yet. We haven't taken it to scale, so we don't actually know if it will scale and if our plans for revenue will work. But and I can't exactly get into all that. What I can say is we're providing a service to people who have lots of questions, who have lots of curiosities about the world, and it's only natural because these are information-starved areas. So our goal is to get information to these disenfranchised people, not only the poor, but the illiterate and the disabled. And the way we thought that it would be best to do this is using voice. Voice is, you know, as you know, with African languages and African culture, it is the lexicon. It is the way people communicate. Most African languages have only become written in the last century, maybe even the last 50 years, and in some cases the last 25 years. And that's not a long time for a language to be written. There's no standards for spelling. And even within languages, they often fragment into different locales because of the distances between groups of people, and those different locales come up with their own systems for writing and spelling and so forth. So we really felt the best way to bridge this gap was through voice. SMS for us is just a supplementary service. And, you know, a lot of these services, when they're deployed by other people, sort of assume, English is going to be the common denominator. But, in fact, it's often very intimidating for people in rural parts to communicate in English, especially written English, just because it's not their first language. And that doesn't mean it's not effective. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that voice tends to reach a little farther. And that's sort of what, that's our company philosophy, I should say. So what we're trying to do is offer services to these people where they can communicate in their local language in the way that they're used to get information that they want and sort of help them embrace the information age in the way that's familiar to them. So this past week, today's Friday, almost July 4th, woo, go America. On Tuesday, we had a focus group that Grameen invited us to, where they actually reviewed the use of these services. It was the midterm review of the AppLab pilots, and the AppLab pilot included all the Google services plus what they marketed as AppLab Question Box. And you know, what we found out was 6001, the SMS search was very popular, and at least in the groups that I was in, AQB was AppLab Question Box was even more popular. And you know, again, I'm completely biased. AQB is our program. You know, I'm invested in it, and I, you know, fully support Rose Schumann's ideas. But you know, this is what I heard sitting in the meeting. That doesn't mean that we're not trying to improve, but people were enthusiastic about it. But here's why, and I think that will say more than me just saying one was more popular than the other, because it shouldn't matter so much. But the reasons why, when we asked, AQB was more popular, was because people enjoyed the human interaction of talking to the operators. So, in the pilot, people are, we haven't opened the number up to the public. Grameen has contributed what's called CKWs, community knowledge workers, who go out, they're members of various parishes and communities in these villages in Uganda, who are volunteering their time to benefit their communities. And what they're doing is they essentially become the seer or the sort of knowledge shaman of the community, and they they act as the role, they act as the intermediary. So, you know, they may collect questions from their community, and then they call the service and they ask us the question, we give them the answer, and then they give the answers back to the community. That was our, because we only have three operators. We couldn't scale. We haven't executed any of our business, our revenue ideas, which is also very tricky because, you know, we want to offer services to the poor, but we also want to create a sustainable service that's not reliant upon, you know, grant funding or, you know, NGO funding or whatever. So this was a pilot, and, you know, it's important for people to recognize that in a pilot, you know, cost isn't necessarily an issue. So we ran this service for 2 months. We've run this service for 2 months so far. We have about 2 or 3 months to go. And, you know, we found out a lot of interesting things. One, the challenge of, you know, these are very widespread communities, so the CKWs were relating to us that it's very hard to get the answers back to people. We need to do something about that. We need to figure out ways to better market the service, which, of course, we can't market it yet because we don't have the capability to scale it. It was very interesting feedback. There's some pictures, quite a few pictures that I'll include in the blog posts accompanying this podcast. And then there was quite a few people from Grameen there. I was really surprised to see Alex Counts, the CEO. And there was quite a few other people from Grameen, David Edelstein, Eric Cantor, and Whitney Gant from AppLab Uganda, and Kiki Noviandi from AppLab Indonesia, I believe. That may be wrong. I keep saying AppLab. AppLab is sort of a project of Grameen. It's their sort of applied technologies branch. Not to be confused with Africa Labs, which is my company, sort of a unfortunate choice of partners who share these very similar names. And believe me, a lot of people in Uganda keep making the mistake between the two organizations. But AppLab, Africa Labs, two separate companies, very much involved with each other, but doing very different things. So. Yeah, so all in all, I would say it was a great launch. Google launched their services on Monday. Grameen launched their big focus group on Tuesday. And now we have some really good indicators about where we can take the service. We at Question Box have some great ideas for where we can take the service that we're going to begin exploring almost, you know, immediately. You know, other than that, it was really good. So the purpose of this podcast is going to be to share some of the actual conversations that we had with the CKWs. And again, CKW stands for Community Knowledge Workers. They're volunteers and who are parts of these rural communities who are volunteering for Grameen to help test the service. They are, I don't want to say too much about what Grameen is doing with them, because I don't know what I'm at liberty to say about that. But if you check out Grameen's website, they sort of explain a bit more about CKWs. So again, what you're about to listen to is an interview with these CKWs who are often farmers, retired farmers, community leaders. They're just people from these communities who wanted to help give back. And here's their experiences as CKWs, as the people going out and collecting this knowledge, collecting these questions and also disseminating the answers to those questions, what they've gone through, what they'd like to see change. I can't play the whole thing, because I'm sure there's some issues that Grameen might have, but there's just some few, just a wealth of insight here if you're interested at all in the lack of information to these populations and, you know, how we can overcome this information divide. So I'm going to get right into that, and I really thank you guys for supporting the show. I want to thank our sponsor, DrupalCon Paris, They're still offering sponsorships for people who want to attend, so check out their site. It's attached to the link, DrupalCon.org, if you want more information. So we're going to get into this, and I really hope you take a lot from what you're about to hear. Thank you.
I'm called Biarhanga Nasisio CKW Shenyi. I'm a manager of a SACCO, a chairman of Farmers Forum, Rivers Sub-County, and I'm happy to serve as a CKW because the nature of work that I deal with puts me directly into contact with the community, and I serve the whole county. Now, the question asked me was, what is the most interesting question on AQB? Besides this problem of banana wilt and cough wilt, I have three parishes which grow passion fruits. Now, passion fruits are almost extinct in those parishes. So when most of my clients who come with that biggest complaint on how they are going to reinstate the growing of passion fruits, which has been giving them a big income. Now, when I ask a question, because it's challenging and I wanted actually to help my people feel the impact of this thing, when I ask question box, they actually gave me a very nice answer, which I would actually want to put it to you across. It was saying that my farmers use Mancozeb or Dicen. Those two, can I call them what?
Inputs
are readily available in my county. So when I told my people, they were extremely happy, and they are waiting for actually the results, because they have started applying that one.
I'm Nasmola David, field officer Mbale. Not formally, but still working as the chairman of Eastern Uganda Dairy Farmers and Breeders Association. I'm a dairy farmer. My question is, what are you most excited about with CKW? I mean CKWs. I'm most excited about the type of people I'm working with. One is these are farmers, fellow farmers, who are working within the community. It's a community where they come from. And of course, the excitement is their wish is to satisfy their people. So that is the most excited on my side. I'm most excited about that. They are interested in serving their people. I mean, if you make a fault in your community, of course, tomorrow it's a bad sign, and tomorrow it will be on record that you did something bad. So, the CKW is working in their areas. It's most exciting. Then, two, the people I'm working with, most of them are retired people who are not working with government or in most cases not, of course, with organizations. And so they can program themselves. I mean, anytime you need them, you get them there, and they will tell you, we are ready to do the assignment. I think that is the most, that's the little I can do.
Shiondo George, CKW Mbale, a farmer. My interesting question here was, what is the most interesting AQB question? My interesting AQB question was about appropriate technology in preserving beans, and that is by use of hatch with the water. It was simpler to practice it, and it was quite interesting because many people are adopting it.
Preserving
beans, keeping beans for longer time. Just using ash with the water and keep it without injecting in any expense. Thank you.
Thank you. Usually call myself Esther Mbare. I'm a real farmer, not working, but working in a farm with a hoe from a group known as Busu United Farmers Marketing Group. My question is, what is the most popular service? Mine is 6001, whereby I get new technology and I give them to farmers. They read by themselves, those who know how to read. And also doesn't I read to them, more especially the control of termites. The information I got on phone, it was amusing. One was more especially to use the pig industries, which I had not known myself. Industries. Amala. Yeah, P1G. To control with the termites. And it was the something interesting to farmers. Yes, termite control, and yeah, and there are other simplest, okay, information, the three types of ways to control termites on that phone, and actually it was not costly, and I liked it with my farmers. Although it is coming to rain, Sarah, let me also express my fears and happiness. On HUB, I know I'll run while I walk, but let me stop, but you'll give me time so that I express myself. Thank you.
My name, I'm called Geoffrey Wasiche. Lydia, this is Wasiche. I'm called Geoffrey Wasiche, CKW Mbale. I come from Busiu sub-county. I'm under Brosidi. I'm a secretary of Brosidi in Mbale. The question I've been asked is, what is the most popular service used? The most popular service used, it is the AQB. And this question, this one will go to Lydia. This AQB, the most clients who come to me are students, both in primary and in senior. And there is one time, I have even a teacher who is teaching IT, ICT, in Busoga University. He was also very interested, and he gave in some questions. Even some of them have not even given to you. These are the questions concerning computers. So I get from those good people up there, they want to know those questions. And those students, especially those who want to know about the presidency, the president has, who is the president of that country during that time. So the students want to know, because those are the questions which they receive during their examinations. So I cannot neglect them. I have to answer them. Yeah. And then other questions, I get them from farmers. And they also receive them, at least about four or five questions from farmers, which I normally get from my clients. And I have to say this sincerely. They have been answering me very well. I have no complaint about that. Apart from some questions which they tell me that we shall answer you in four coming working days, some of them delayed, but some of them have been receiving the answers. And this very week on Friday, I received a question which I asked on 1st April. They sent that question to me through SMS. So I thank them very much.
Yeah. I'm Beth Rudina, CKW from Bale, stroke of Dhaka. I work with A2N as a farmer facilitator, and I'm a member in TechnoServe, which brought me here. You asked me about the most common topic in HUB. Understand, everyone here is practicing on her own, because you cannot tell someone's main topic when you are doing your own work. So on my side, the main topic is on health. In fact, they gave a positive response on health, because these people, normally, if you tell them to change on modern agriculture, they are used to their cultural practices. They don't change. But when they heard of health, they had to put in positive response, thinking their problems are going to be what? solved. But when you refer them, sorry, Lydia, to tell you this, when you refer them to doctors, they say, now, this wants money, it needs money. We thought that maybe the solution is we would get straightforward from those people. Now you are telling us, you are referring us to what? To a doctor. And at times the challenges we are facing, when these, some of the questions, Lydia, they are ignored. You get a farmer challenging USCKW that you were here saying that you have a man, meaning a phone, going to tell us the answer. But at last we have got a negative response. You end up being challenged by what? By a farmer. So, that's what I have. Let me wish a good say to my CKWs and the App Lab officials.
When
I'm challenged.
Yeah, so if you give the answer to someone and they don't accept it, what happens?
Yeah, I just convince them that human is error. So I don't want them to fire me questions, just stupid questions. I tell them human is error. Yeah.
You just heard from a number of CKWs. CKW stands for Community Knowledge Worker, and their experiences in the field, acting as sort of a knowledge broker for their communities. So essentially they collect questions, they use these services, and then they distribute the answers back to the people who originally asked them. And that's only because during the course of this pilot, of course, we couldn't scale up to just launch this service. We're still testing. So the interesting results, you know, as you heard, the biggest problem is getting information back to the people who originally asked. And then also an equally important issue we need to address is the follow-up services. So we're finding out this information, and what you heard one of the CKW say is, you know, what they would like to see next is groups actually following up on these services to make sure that the advice is being followed, but also to make sure that people understand and people have the ability to follow the advice. So, you know, in the case of the passion fruit, which you heard about, their big concern is that they're becoming extinct and they don't know what to do. They'd like a group to come in and now address that. So, you know, on our behalf, you know, on our part, as Question Box, it's something that we're working on, and we're something that we're looking for partners to embrace. As you heard, one of these CKWs is also a participant in some of Techno Service programs. They would make a good ally, you know, any group that sort of has the international reach to actually implement programs. Many of them are already implementing programs, so it's just a matter of finding out if there's ways they can extend their services to areas that they may not have even known about before they launched whatever initiatives they're involved in now. So it's something to look forward to. I want to point your attention to another service. So one of the things I've been experimenting with for Question Box is how can we make this information available to the public and actually mobilize people who want to be involved. So there's two things that I want to introduce to you. One, Question Box launched a blog, and on that blog you'll find very often we're going to collect some of the questions that were coming in and just sort of contextualize them, talk about what solutions they might indicate could be executed in this area and so forth, and just really just try to relate the experience of CKWs and rural populations to our audience. So we're going to take the questions that we're getting from India, we're going to take the questions that we're getting from Uganda, and we're going to present them on the blog in ways that's informative and hopefully insightful to you, the audience. The second application, so right now, you know, with the rise of Twitter and Facebook and FriendFeed and all these sort of live stream aggregators, there's all this talk of the real-time web, real-time information, and what, you know, essentially first world nations are doing. You know, it's Twitter, you know, it's often called this very narcissistic way to use the web where you're just constantly telling everyone what you're doing. Of course, there's many more uses for Twitter, as we've seen, recently in Iran, and we saw before that in, Mumbai, during the attacks, and then also just all over the world. But what we're interested in doing is sort of visualizing where these questions are coming from and sort of sharing what people want to know around the world. And that's a huge passion of mine. So a few weeks ago, I developed an application that actually in real time is visualizing the questions as we get them. So essentially the question that I wanted to posit is, what would the real time web look like for the majority of the planet, which is also known as the bottom, you know, billion, the bottom, you know, BOP markets, developing countries, third world nations, whatever you want to call it, that makes up the majority of life on this planet. And, you know, it's great that there's applications like Twitter and, you know, Haiku, which is, and Laconica and, you know, all this other stuff. It's great that, you know, Google and all these other organizations are serving this one audience. I think that now the conversation's becoming, how can all this technology, all this stuff that sort of has like a very, before I use the word narcissistic, it's really more of just like a, in many cases, superficial, very surface use. So I think the question now becomes, so there's all these great tools that have been created and great technology that's being created. And, you know, you read lots of blogs, that talk about technology and they talk about, you know, all the wonders of the future and blah, blah, blah. And it is all really great stuff. The problem is not all of it is working for everyone. And that's not a problem of the creators of the technology. That becomes a problem of people like me who are trying to take that technology and apply it elsewhere. I guess it becomes the problem of the people who are willing to accept the challenge. And that's what motivates me about technology is how can I take, you know, these awesome things that serve great purposes and they make everyone's life better who use them, but they often either don't make it or aren't accessible to everyone around the world. So how do we do that? How do we apply this technology for the people who it's exceedingly has a high barrier of entry to? Anyway, long story short, what I've done is taken the stream of questions as we're getting them here at Africa Labs, and I'm resyndicating them to the web in real time. I think there's only maybe a 30-second to a minute delay before it goes live on the site. And if you follow the link that's attached to this podcast, you can actually see what the questions that we're getting as they're coming in. It's one of the things that I look forward to presenting at TED. It's one of the things that I look forward to doing more with, visualizing this data in more ways. And my big inspiration actually was a group called Stamen Design, who I believe did the there's all these visualizations for the social news site Dig that I thought were great, and they present one type of information. What I wanted to do is present this other type of information. Dig, they called it Dig Spy, and there's an open source thing called jQuery Spy. So we took the jQuery source code and then we just integrated the data that we're getting from the question box software. And these are not SMS messages. What you'll be seeing is so the operators, as they get calls, they enter the question as text into software so they can query and get an answer. So what you're seeing is what they enter to get the answers. And the reason why it's a little bit more effective than just broadcasting what you get as SMS is because often with SMS here, you're getting a lot of misspelled words, you're getting a lot of sentences that don't make sense, and that actually makes it really hard to serve those people, on a technical level. If you're trying to search for words that are misspelled, so you know, I know the behind the scenes for 6001, there's all these catch-alls. So if you misspell a word one way, the database is smart enough to look for what you may have meant. That's something that Google has been perfecting over many, many years with their web search, and I think they're applying it to SMS search, and it's brilliant. Because we don't have such a huge resource at our disposal, what we do is, you know, the operators act as the interpreter. They're actually translating in real time as well. So some of these questions have been asked in other languages, and they're just getting entered into our system as English because the operator speaks that language. So, you know, I think it's a fascinating look into, some of the deepest parts of Uganda that I'm sure most of the people on the planet aren't ever thinking about, you know, rural populations in the sense of, you know, you think of America, you think of New York, you think of LA, you think of Miami, all the big cities. No one thinks of America and thinks of Dawson, Georgia, which is where my family is from. No one thinks of, I can't even think of anything to throw out there because there's so many, you know, it's just not the way we work as humans. We think of, the common denominator is usually the biggest city or the biggest populations, and that's who we come to know and think of when we think of countries. So, you know, people think of Uganda, they think of Kampala. They're not necessarily thinking of Busia, Gulu, Jinja, Fort Portal, or even some of these smaller villages and parishes. But what this will allow you to do is see what types of information people in Mbale, Uganda, or Bushenye want to know. So just check out that app and let me know what you think. I want to thank you all for listening to the show, and until next time.